Welcome into College Football Every Game on the Board podcast. Drew Martin, Mid-Major Matt, kicking us off for week four here, Thursday, Friday, top of the Saturday card, going down in rotation order with our leadoff hitter, Matt Josephs from sportsmemo.com, at Mid-Major Matt on Twitter. Matt, welcome into you. How you feeling?
Feeling good. It's weird. We're at about the quarter mark of the season so far. And now, Drew, you know, we're starting to see the conference games come in. We're starting to see also some random non-conference games before conference games. So situational plays will start to certainly come into effect a little bit.
All right, man. Well, let's get into it here. A good one on Thursday. First game on the card, 303-304 West Virginia versus Virginia Tech. Matt, near a pick'em price here. We saw it open West Virginia -2.5, got all the way down to -1. Now it's popped back up to -1.5 here. So some opinion in the marketplace. Total 50.5. You like it anything in Lane Stadium, Blacksburg, Virginia?
Yeah, so I've been saying all along here that if Tech wants to win this game, they've got to get the 24 points or more. They're not going to be able to hold West Virginia to 17, I don't think. I believe in Tech's defense. I believe in the power of Lane Stadium on a Thursday night. I think that it's one of the atmospheres, and I'm trying to go to the game. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but it's one of the atmospheres. If you're a true college football fan, Thursday night, Lane Stadium, you have to be there. And this is a rivalry game, of course. This was for the Black Diamond Trophy. These two were Big East opponents for the longest time. Last year, West Virginia won a close game, 27-21 at home in this one. And as I said, you know, but Virginia Tech's offense is hard to trust, but we've seen some confidence starting to build in Grant Wells. He's starting to look like the guy we saw at Marshall. And we've also started to see a little bit of money come in on Virginia Tech in this one, Drew. And to me, this is an easy correlated bet. If you like West Virginia, they're winning an over. If you like Virginia Tech, they're winning an under. And so the biggest thing is, if you think that Virginia Tech's offense is going to show up in this game and going to use the momentum of the crowd, I think the Tech's the play here, and then you're looking at the under. And if you think West Virginia's very good offense that has flexed their muscle quite often is going to do a lot and their defense is going to do just enough, then you like West Virginia in the over in this one.
Yeah, Matt, I mean, you bring up the Black Diamond Trophy. Doing a little research here, these two schools aren't very far from each other, you know, to the point where I doubt West Virginia's taking a plane and like staying overnight. I don't know. I haven't researched it that much. But I mean, you're right there in the area. You mentioned going to the game. What do you think the atmosphere will be like?
Oh, I think it'll be great. I think it'll be one of the better college football atmospheres we see this weekend because these two teams don't like each other. You know, this is obviously not my sports radio show, but I find it lazy that the media says realignment has killed rivalries like this when really ADs could just sit there and stop scheduling FCS schools and schedule each other. So like this being back on the schedule has made a lot of people happy. This brings back memories of Michael Vick and Kevin Jones and Avon Coburn and Pat White and all that. So it's going to be a fun atmosphere. These two groups do not like each other at all.
And does it scare you at all? Because this is what I think about it. Like, I think West Virginia is the better team. I really do. But, I mean, on the road, Thursday night, Lane Stadium, you said you believe in that power. I mean, how much do you think it's worth?
I think it's worth 4 or 5 points. Now, the problem is, and this has been something I've seen from Tech fans, and this is probably with a lot of fan bases, if Tech's not scoring and if their defense – I could see this happening early on, Drew, where Tech's defense is out there. They're doing a great job. They're holding up field goals. They're, you know, it's like, you know, a 10-3 type of game. And then Tech's defense, who's getting no help from their offense, eventually gets tired. It's now 24-6 and things like that. And West Virginia pulls away. So the hope is that Tech's got to come out fast. They got to score a touchdown early, keep the crowd in it, keep the defense rested because we know how good West Virginia is. And by the way, Drew, West Virginia's starters last week, I think they only played a half, if that. Because they beat Towson by so much. I had the over in that game, and their starters were not seen in the third quarter of that one.
Good point there, because it is a Thursday night, you know, short preparation time for that one. Also for our next game, 305-306, simultaneous Thursday night game, 7:30 Eastern here. Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers versus Georgia State, the Panthers. We're going from Blacksburg, Virginia here to Atlanta, Georgia. We're seeing Coastal Carolina, tight spread here, -2 road favorites, 62 being the total. Georgia State just lost to Charlotte, I think. That was one of the more surprising results of this last week here, Matt, at least in my opinion. What are you thinking here? Do you think the Panthers can bounce back and maybe shock Coastal Carolina? The betting markets are telling us they got a shot.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly do. They're probably the best 0-3 team in the country, because if you've looked, they lost to South Carolina, North Carolina, and Charlotte. And Charlotte's a really good team with Chris Reynolds in there, because their wide receiving core is really good. So it's their defense that's not very good, but Charlotte obviously got that last touchdown and out-dueled them in a big-time shootout. And Coastal Carolina's defense hasn't been very good either. If you look at that, they nearly lost to Gardner Webb, not exactly an offensive powerhouse in the FCS. They give up 26 points to Buffalo, who's still kind of got an offense that they're kind of working on with Snyder at quarterback. But there is revenge here. Last year with Coastal Carolina's great season, it could have been even better. Georgia State went into Coastal Carolina, won this game 42-40. There's a lot of things that point me towards Georgia State, Drew. I'm a little concerned because I kind of like the over, but the money's coming in on the under. But, you know Coastal Carolina is going to score some points here. It was weird because I looked on DraftKings. The team totals were not out for this game, which I thought was interesting. Made me wonder if there was some sort of injury or something like that. But I lean to Coastal Carolina in this one, revenge, and certainly the fact that their offense is more trustworthy here. You have to wonder if these close losses are going to eventually wear on Georgia State a little bit.
Like it, Matt. Good start here with the Thursday night slate. We got Friday, September 23rd. Three games here at Trifecta, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock kicks. First one up, 307, 308, Virginia and Syracuse. Right up Matt Joseph's alley here, ACC. He was a Syracuse alumni. -9.5, -9, 53 being the total. Syracuse, the home team in the dome. Matt, got to bring up a couple things. One, Syracuse, arguably the most surprising team in all of college football that so far this season. They're pretty good. Dino Babers and the crew getting solid quarterback play, playing some pretty good defense up against Virginia here. I'll tell you this. I don't have the kind of off-season lines here, but this has got to be one of the ones that moved a lot. I mean, Syracuse -9.5. I wouldn't have guessed that. What are you thinking here with the Hoos and the Orange?
So I got a little piece of it at 10.5. I took UVA +10.5. It was up that high. And I don't know necessarily if it's the fatalist in me, if people follow me on Twitter. I bet against my teams more than I bet on them. I don't know if it's necessarily an emotional hedge or I just seem to think that none of them are ever going to win. But, I mean, I think there's a lot of points. I mean, Drew, you look at that game against Purdue and the way they won and the emotional atmosphere that there was. It was a very nice crowd. And it was very loud in the Loud House and everything. And it's a big win. As you said, you know, there probably wasn't a line preseason, but I can guarantee you it wasn't Syracuse -9.5. And I think we're kind of underrating Virginia a little bit. Look, Virginia did not look great against Old Dominion. You can say there was a situational spot they were looking towards this game. You could say that it was kind of a we're not taking you seriously kind of situation. But I feel like this UVA offense is going to pop a little bit. Now, couple of key things here, Drew. We talked about the Syracuse coming off the emotions. Syracuse's offensive coordinator is Robert Anai. Their quarterback's coach is Jason Beck. Both of those guys worked with Brennan Armstrong last year. So if they knew anything about what Brennan Armstrong couldn't do, it would be those two guys. So we'll certainly see that with regards to the defense. You know, Syracuse runs a 3-3-5, which takes some time to get used to. I think Virginia's underrated a little bit here. Their defense has not been great, but it has certainly not been the issue. It's the offensive line that's been atrocious. And of course, you put them in a loud atmosphere like the Carrier Dome, it could be a little bit of an issue. There could be some false starts here. But I think there's some value with Virginia. I think Virginia's offense is about to pop. You know, they've got one of the best offense wide receiving cores in America. The run game has not been a bad problem either. It's kind of been Brennan Armstrong looking human. Their team total is 20.5. I kind of like the over there. I think 21 is a decent number for Virginia. And I think at 9.5, it's not a bad play to take Virginia in this one.
Like it. ACC matchup starting us off. Heading out to the Mountain West. Nevada and Air Force, 45.5 being the total. Air Force, the Falcons, off of that loss, now laying 24 at home. Anything in this one, Matt?
So the one thing that when I pick and choose my Air Force first quarter unders, my Academy first quarter unders, it's I got to have the perfect recipe. And that's what we had last week. Wyoming, not a fast team when it comes to running their offense. We know Air Force is not a fast team. Both offenses used the clock and we got what we wanted. I think it was a 3-0 first quarter in that game. So I got to do a little bit more research on the speed of Nevada's offense. This could be another one of those games where I feel like the first quarter under is warranted. It's 10 in a lot of places, but I have to check out Nevada. If Nevada's going to go quick and they have a lot of three and outs, their defense is not good enough. I certainly think Air Force is a guarantee to score a touchdown in this first quarter. So it's kind of going to be based off of Nevada's, how quick they are offensively. The team total for Nevada is 10.5. I mean, their offense has been pretty bad. They just got shut out by Iowa. I don't know if this total's low enough. I would lean to the under here in this one. I think Air Force wins easily, and I think this could be an under, like a 34-3 type of game.
Got to give props to Matt for his show best bet last week on the Air Force Wyoming first quarter under, cash with ease there. We'll get another one from him at the end of this segment as well. Boise State and UTEP up next here, Matt. Heading to El Paso, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock, probably 7 o'clock local time. I'm not exactly sure which time zone El Paso's in here, Matt. -15.5, that's Boise State as the road favorite. We've seen it bought down about a half a point at a lot of shops. -16.5 is available, 45.5 being the total. You like it anything in the Sun Bowl Friday night?
So this is kind of like that game a couple weeks ago when they played at New Mexico, Boise State, and people were like, well, New Mexico could be live here. New Mexico looked really good week one. Boise State didn't look very good in week one. And of course, Boise State covered that number. UTEP's just not the same without Jacob Cowing. I mean, Gavin Hardison's a solid quarterback, but he's got no game breakers in that offense. And you can kind of tell, he scored only 10 points last week against New Mexico. That's a bit of an issue here. Their team total's 14.5. I might look at the under there. Boise State side, I was very underwhelmed with their offense. One of my losers on Saturday, and we admit our wins and we admit our losses, was the over on the Boise State UT Martin game. The defense showed up. They held them to 7 points. That's a solid Skyhawks offense in the FCS level. But the offense just didn't, either it was walking through, going through the motions, or just, their offense hasn't been there all year long. The team total's 30.5. I kind of like UTEP's defense a little bit, so might maybe explore a little bit on that Boise State team total under here. They're the better team in this one. UTEP's offense is just atrocious. I remember last year, Boise State won this game 54-13, so there could be a little bit of revenge on the mind of UTEP, but I just don't think it's as good of a team this year.
Yeah, I mean, you got to almost have the talent to have the revenge, It's one of those things, Matt. I would look towards Boise State, but I don't know. UTEP, I think, will find it at some point. It's just, I don't know if 16 is enough. As we head to the Saturday slate, 12 noon Eastern, 313, 314. A good one here, Matt. Baylor, Iowa State. We're seeing the Cyclones -3, 45.5 the total in Ames.
Iowa State's been a great story and they're on a very nice run. They get that win against Iowa. And then they could have very easily laid an egg against Ohio, coming off the tough win. They've got a conference game up next. It was a sandwich spot, and they looked really good against Ohio, and this is a better team than people think. And it's because, Deckers is getting better as a quarterback. And then you look at Baylor, a very nice win against Texas State, 42-7. But we know how tough it is to go into Ames. I would say if you're going to take Iowa State, and this is just me personal preference with a number potentially so short, I look in the money line. It's a personal preference thing. I'm sure, Drew, there's times where you look at the money line. There's times where you look at the spread. If you can find yourself a reasonable money line, I kind of like Iowa State in this game. Baylor's not bad this season, but my lean would be to Iowa State in this one.
I usually do money lines for the favorites at 1.5, Matt. That's really it. I don't pay too much. I do a lot of money lines with the underdogs to get that good plus price if they actually win outright. But with the favorites, I don't know. I just don't like paying a lot of juice.
I think there's some teams that you feel more confident with, Drew, as a favorite. Better special teams, better coaching, better defense. I think in some situations where you think the game might land within that one or two area, you take a money line thing. But as I said, it's me. I'm a little bit more of a cautious gambler at times when it comes to that sort of thing. I don't want to have to worry about, especially, Drew, college kickers. Come on. Like, if I have the money line and I need a kicker to get me that cover instead of a win outright, like, how often does that happen with these college kickers?
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. Good point. 7 o'clock Eastern, Lexington, Kentucky, 315, 316. Next game up, Northern Illinois, Kentucky. We're seeing Wildcats anywhere from -25 to -26.5, 53 the total.
Name your score kind of game, Drew. With Kentucky here, they come off a name your score kind of game with Youngstown State, 31-0. It was very interesting. The game was in doubt, and in the fourth quarter, Will Levis was still in there. That was a bit of a gutsy play by Stoops, keeping his quarterback in there when they knew they were going to win. it paid off. He didn't get hurt. They've got Ole Miss on the road up next. That would give me a pause for later on in the game. Maybe Kentucky this time actually does take their starters out. Northern Illinois' offense has had some issues and has had some injuries. We're kind of waiting to see what Rocky Lombardi's status is. So this, Drew, is kind of a wait and see. It would be Kentucky or nothing for me. I need to see what Rocky Lombardi's status is. If he plays, their team totals 13.5. There's a chance that if they can score early, maybe they get a late touchdown against the backups and go over that number. But once again, I need a firm status because their offense is banged up as it is. I don't need their starting quarterback out for this one.
Yeah, good point. They've had running back injuries. Also, good point by Matt. Look at the schedule, guys, when you're looking to lay a lot of points with some of these teams. If the next game up is going to be a competitive game, you want to watch out for them pulling starters a little bit more in that case. So that's with Kentucky this upcoming week. Next game up, 7:30 Eastern here. Columbia, South Carolina, Matt. We get the Gamecocks of South Carolina -22 against the 49ers. That's the aforementioned Charlotte team here. High total, Matt, 65 up to 68. I think it actually has something to do with what you were talking about. Charlotte's quarterback, big difference maker. They move the ball when he's in. They don't when he's not.
Yeah, and their defense is still leaky, as evidenced by what we've seen so far. And South Carolina coming off the embarrassing loss against Georgia. I mean, I think the big question here, Drew, is, and you're the SEC guy more than I am, does South Carolina's offense have enough to carry the number here? Could they win a 47-20, a 51-14 type of game? If South Carolina, and you can answer this question, if you think so, then the over comes into play here. If you think that their offense is not capable of it, then you're probably going to hold your nose and take an under here. I expect Charlotte to contribute a little bit. Their team total is 23.5. That's a little high as far as I'm concerned. But then again, also, South Carolina has a ton of defensive injuries right now. They had a couple guys out in the secondary. I believe one of their linebackers didn't play against Georgia. So that's a status thing you want to check. But you can answer this better than I can, Drew. Does South Carolina's offense have enough to carry a total like this to, you know, a 45-51 point day?
Matt, I think they do. I've seen Charlotte in person, and what I like doing at FAU games is you can walk and see both sidelines. And FAU was so much bigger, stronger. They had so many more, you know, big, bad dudes than Charlotte. It was like, I was shocked by it. And sure enough, FAU scored like 40, 45 points against them. They could have probably scored more, Matt. And that speaks to, I think South Carolina has the talent to run it up on Charlotte. But the only question I have is, and this is something I think is a big part of college football betting and a big part of college football totals betting when the spread is like this, is Beamer and the South Carolina offensive coordinator, do they have that mentality to go, you know, pedal to the metal and run it up? When you're up 30 points, are you still trying to score more, or are you just ISOs, dives, let that play clock go down? Because like the Nick Saban mentality, because that makes a big difference. They can, Matt, but I guess my question back to you real quickly is Beamer like that? Because I don't know enough about him.
I don't think he is. That's my guess. But I also know the heat is on him a little bit, obviously, with, you know, and it's not much. He's been recruiting well, and he hasn't been there long enough, I feel like. But then again, it is the SEC. Their team total is 45.5. I mean, so that kind of tells you right there that the odds makers think they can. And I feel like, Drew, my guess is no. My guess is he's the type of guy who will ease up a little bit. I don't know if there's any connections between him and Will Healy other than Will Healy was a quarterback for Richmond in Virginia. Maybe they've had some interactions. Maybe Shane recruited him to Tech. I don't know. But, like, my guess is no. He's not the type who's going to go five wide receivers in the fourth quarter in this one.
Okay, good stuff from Matt Joseph, sportsmemo.com. We got next game up here. UMass and Temple, what a doozy here. All right, 43 being the total. Temple -9 at home. I know you know the Owls, Matt. Anything here?
I mean, if you're betting this game, you are a true degenerate. Let's just be honest, because there might be more people betting this game than people in the stands for this game. Although I'll say this, it's important. I have over 2.5 wins for Temple, so I need them to win this game. EJ Warner's been pretty good. Kurt Warner's son, he's a true freshman. He's been pretty good. There's actually reports that DeJuan Mathis is working out at wide receiver now. So it looks like it's going to be EJ Warner's job. Yeah, UMass is not a very good team. They got their one victory this season, potentially against Stony Brook. But really, if you're betting this game, you are a true sick individual. And I love you, but I can't give you a ton of. This is a lot of points for Temple to cover, but also UMass is one of the worst teams in the country.
Yeah, I can't say it any better, Matt. We got next game up, Kent State and Georgia. I mean, something, another game only a sports better and maybe Georgia Bulldog fans can love. Minus 45 here. That's the Georgia Bulldogs at home, 62 the total in Athens.
Well, this is another paycheck game. I don't know what Kent State's doing to their poor football team, but if you look, they played Washington, Oklahoma, Long Island, and now Georgia. So they're getting lots of money in the non-conference. Typical game. Kent State's defense is really bad. Georgia's offense is really good. The one thing I've kind of noticed, and some of the people on Twitter who were interacting with me because I was sweating out the total in that game, Georgia really does pull the reins back towards the end of the game. I mean, the fourth quarter, they were not – I mean, they were trying, obviously, but they score a lot of points early, and then they kind of slow down a little bit, which was one of the reasons why I took the under in that game. The late touchdown got a push for me. There were some 55-and-a-halves that barely won. To me, if you're playing this game, you're looking at a Georgia first half team total. Kent State should not present a lot of, a lot of challenges for this offense. So to me, you're isolating the first half in this game. Some books do offer the Kent State, a Georgia first half team total. I would look there. This thing should be like 35-0 by halftime.
So it's pretty much what we were just talking about with South Carolina, Charlotte, Matt. You've noticed here with Kirby Smart, he's not looking to prove anything.
I don't think so. It's from the past couple games. And obviously, once again, you watch the SEC more than I do, but they certainly could have scored 60 on South Carolina if they wanted to, but they pulled back. Now, the one thing was the third string defense gave in and gave up their only touchdown of the season so far. So I think Kent State can score here. I do think so. And that total's interesting, but the problem is you need enough points from Georgia. Maybe you look at a first half over in this game. I don't know if you can quickly pull that up. I should have looked before we got here. Maybe a first half over, you get a field goal from Kent State, and it's like 35-3 at halftime.
Well, I'm seeing it minus 29 and 35 as the total.
I think that might actually be my best bet, Drew, is the first half over here. Georgia's going to score on every drive, I think. Kent State has nobody to cover Brock Bowers. If this game is in any sort of DFS things, I'd throw Brock Bowers in there. I think that could be my best bet, Drew. The first half over in this game, I could see like a 35-3, 38-6 type of first half in this game.
Good stuff, Matt. Notre Dame, North Carolina up next. Minus 1.5. That's UNC at home. 55.5 the total in Chapel Hill.
I mean, Notre Dame season. You know, it's funny, Drew. You almost wonder, like, and obviously this is not the case because it's Notre Dame. You know how the bad teams, they get really excited after they win the first game and then they kind of go back to being terrible? I wonder if that's the situation here. And obviously it's Notre Dame, so they're a proud program. That's not going to happen. But they finally got a win, even though it took, you know, dropping a late Hail Mary, and it took beating Cal of all teams here. Notre Dame won this game 44-34 last year, and UNC's coming off a bye. I think situationally the Tar Heels are the play. Notre Dame's offense hasn't been great. North Carolina's defense hasn't been great. But I think that North Carolina's going to be able to score a little bit here. I think the extra week off gives Drake May a chance to kind of relax a little bit, look at some film, get ready for Notre Dame. Obviously, he hasn't gone up against a really good defense yet, App State. Georgia State, I believe their first game might have been an FCS opponent. If not, it was kind of a weaker opponent. I think North Carolina wins this game. I think Notre Dame got their win. They're going to feel good about this game, but their offense has some massive issues still.
Good stuff from Matt Josephs. Check him out, sportsmemo.com. 29-14 so far in college football. He was also up big 2021 and 2020, so up near 100% ROI since 2020, the last three college football seasons. Also 96-71. MLB runs. So guys, long term here, MLB and college football really doing well. Matt Josephs, sportsmemo.com, also has a free play up in MLB. Matt, next game up, MTSU in Miami. That's the Hurricanes minus 26, 52.5 the total in Miami Gardens.
By the way, real quick on the other thing, Michael Mayer over on his receiving yards. If your book offers it, I know DraftKings offers some player props. If they offer it and it's a reasonable number, that might be something we want to revisit. Certainly, they don't come up until Friday or Saturday, but maybe Michael Mayer against North Carolina here. True. I mean, Miami's the type of team after a disappointing effort to come home. We talk about the teams, Drew, that don't go full throttle all four quarters. Miami seems like that team, Drew, and I'm surprised somewhat. And obviously the weather always a factor down in Florida. So certainly check for rain and wind and things like that. That's something always you have to look at. But I feel like this isn't over here, Drew. I think Miami's one of those teams. Their team total's 39.5. I think their offense finds some footing against Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee's an air raid type offense. They go with a little bit of pace. I could see some quick three and outs. Miami's right back on the field. I could see some late points scored by Middle Tennessee. I could see like a 51-10 type of victory for Miami here. I think the over comes into play. I mean, don't you agree, Drew? If there's ever a team that's ruthless after a bad contest, it would be Miami.
I do think that about Miami. I think they will run it up. I'm kind of struggling with, would you rather lay the 26 or bet the over of 52.5? Do you think MTSU can score on Miami? I haven't seen a lot of the Raiders, Blue Raiders.
I do think they can score. I think they can. But once again, I think it's a little bit of a late touchdown. When can you? What time was the kickoff for this thing? Because I'm now looking at the weather for Coral Gables.
3:30 Eastern.
So that's about a 55% chance of rain, a thunderstorm, and a little bit of wind. So your typical Miami weather. So certainly, Drew, that would be something. I'm not taking the over if it's like that, but it's something I would revisit closer to kickoff here. We could maybe even get some value, Drew, because, you know, rain, it doesn't necessarily kill things because the receivers know which way they're going, and the other team doesn't necessarily know that. So I think points could be scored here, but if the betting public maybe comes down a little bit. So I would say Saturday morning when people get up, take a look at the weather, get a better idea of when it's going to rain, how much it's going to rain. Is it going to be a windy rain or just a mist or something like that? But I'm definitely looking at the over in this game. I think Miami comes out with a vengeance.
Yeah, I agree with you. Weather check closer to kickoff, particularly, guys, as I'm talking to you from South Florida right now. Whenever you're going Orlando and south in the state of Florida, it changes so much that when you do a weather check on Tuesday or Wednesday, it's almost not as valuable. You need to be checking that on Friday and Saturday. That's how I do it anyway. Good stuff from Matt Josephs here at Mid-Major Matt on Twitter. Maryland, Michigan up next. Wolverines -17, 64.5 the total in the Big House.
So this is a very tough game, Drew. I mean, Michigan's played nobody. Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn. I think if you look at the top 20, well, the bottom 20 worst teams in the country, that three of those teams are going to show up there. So I don't know. Michigan's offense is going to be able to score. I don't believe in Maryland's defense here, but like Maryland's team total is 23.5. I think Maryland put some points up here, Drew. Last year, Michigan won this game 59-18 at Maryland. I mean, that's got to be some sort of there's got to be some sort of revenge. And we just talked about it. You got to have some talent. Maryland's got a solid offense. And remember, Michigan didn't bring back a lot of starters on defense. It's an easy way to start the season, playing those three teams all at home. They're going to put up glossy numbers. Everybody's going to have a lot of confidence. But it could be a little bit of a shell shock here when Maryland comes out with their talent and their speed, and it's not Colorado State, and it's not UConn, and it's not, you know, some of these other teams. So I almost wonder if a early play on Maryland comes into play here because they might punch them early. Michigan's going to win this game, I think, but I think Maryland early might be worth a look here because I think the Terps are going to bring some speed and talent that Michigan may not necessarily be ready for after three cupcakes in a row.
Speaking of UConn, their next team up here, Connecticut at NC State, Wolfpack -39, 49.5 the total.
Well, once again, you just mentioned it. You have to look at the spot play here. NC State at Clemson next week. That is the game in the ACC Atlantic this year. If NC State hopes to win the Atlantic, they have to go to Death Valley. They have to be healthy for that game. So certainly, if you're making any sort of play in this game, it's got to be in the first half. It's got to be a first quarter thing. UConn's your typical terrible team as usual. So if there is any sort of plays here, got to make it a first quarter or first half. NC State should treat this game normally in the first half. But I guarantee you fourth quarter, we will not see Devin Leary. And if we do, this is a massive upset potentially in the making because UConn is a horrendous football team and NC State has bigger people to worry about next week.
Maction Big Ten up next. Kicking us off Saturday, 12 noon Eastern, Central Michigan and Penn State. We get the Chippewas and the Nittany Lions, 63 being the total, -28. So -4 touchdowns here in Happy Valley, Matt.
So another team that's ruthless when it comes to beating up on teams is Penn State. I mean, James Franklin just doesn't care. And here's the thing, Drew, I'll argue, and Penn State fans might disagree, the Aller kid who's their backup and the Velu, Christian, whatever his name is, V-E-I-L-L-E-U-X, whatever his name is, they arguably are just as good, if not better, than Sean Clifford. So when he goes to his back, and I was watching that Ohio game, and he was still having them throw and still treating this game, that game, like it was, you know, a big time game. He had him throw, had him go tempo and everything. Penn State's team total is 46.5. I don't think Central Michigan can match up here. Central Michigan's had some injuries on offense. I would potentially look at an over if not for some of those injuries. Dallas Dixon, one of their best wide receivers, out for the season. So that's a bit of a concern here. Penn State's defense is pretty good. And here's the funny thing, Drew. Central Michigan's got Toledo next on the road. Now, they're not going to kind of treat this game like nothing. But in the later part of this game, do they start taking starters out with bigger things to worry about next week against Toledo? I'd potentially look at the Penn State team total over here. I think Penn State, even with their backup and their third string quarterbacks, are going to score a lot of points in this one.
Man, that was good stuff, Matt, because after watching Penn State and Auburn, I took away Clifford's really good. He took some big shots, and he was still playing really good football at the quarterback position. So if their backups are nearly as good, that's a really good sign. In Central Michigan, one thing I've taken away from the Chippewas is they can actually score. They scored against Oklahoma State. You know, so stepping up in class, their offense, with their quarterback named Daniel Richardson, he's not injured, is he?
No, he's fine. But Dixon, their best wide receiver, is injured. And I mean, you're right, Drew. And that's the thing. The Aller kid who's behind him is, I believe, a 4 or 5 star recruit. He's a freshman. And the passes he was making against Ohio were very impressive. So and the third stringer definitely is transferring at some point, because I don't think he's going to see the starting lineup. He's going to be a high profile transfer when he leaves Penn State, if that actually happens.
Good information here. And we have seen over of 60 to 63 here. So the large money on over, kind of agreeing with your whole analysis there, Matt. That might be a good play to make, guys. CMU Penn State over. Last game on the board, a reminder here, check out Matt Josephs. Obviously knows his college football, guys, breaking it down each and every week here on the Every Game on the Board podcast. Follow him on Twitter at MidMajorMatt. He's 29-14 out the gate, guys, in college football. He was 130-98 last year and 98-59 the year before. So 3 straight years of good profits in college football. He also knows his bases, 96-71 in the MLB. So check him out, sportsmemo.com, at Midmajor Matt on Twitter. Last game up here, Matt. Georgia Tech and Central Florida, 56.5 being the total. We're seeing UCF, the Group of Five team, laying 3 touchdowns to the Power Five team. I don't know, Matt. The Bounce House, UCF, talking about teams that will run it up. They are one. Can UCF run it up? That's another question. You liking anything here? Georgia Tech and UCF.
Yeah, and this is the one thing, Drew. I know you always ask me at the end, you know, do I have anything else to say? And that's the thing. You know, what you just brought up about the Penn State Central Michigan game and this one as well, you know, the total moves. And you're sitting there, you're like, yeah, I like the over, but the things move 3 points. I got a bad number. I can't play it. This is where, and this is why I talk about it a lot in all sports, almost team totals, first half plays, isolating just one sort of variable here. And you look here, UCF's team totals 37.5. And once again, we got to look at the weather because, of course, it's Florida. And certainly they don't have a dome at UCF. So you got to be careful with that. But if this weather is good, you're right. UCF should be able to name their score here. They could score 40 easily on Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech just lost 42-0 at home to Ole Miss. And this is a bad Georgia Tech offense. Their team total is 18.5. I kind of like the under there because I think Central Florida's defense has been better than it has been in the past. UCF does have SMU up next. So certainly there's a little bit of a look ahead because that's a decent AAC game. But yeah, Drew, you're right. UCF is a ruthless team when it comes to that sort of thing. So I'd almost lean UCF team total over, Georgia Tech team total under. But once again, I want to wait for the weather to make sure that the rain is not a factor here and make sure that, you know, we're going to get crystal clear skies and things like that. But certainly 18.5 for Georgia Tech's offense is a really high number.
Matt, you got anything for best bets and any final thoughts for the show before we shut this down?
So the more I thought about it, the more I like the first half over in the Georgia-Kent State game. I will say this. I don't think Kent State's going to stop them. I think Georgia's going to score in every possession. I'm hoping it's a touchdown, obviously, because obviously it's going to help our total. I think there's a chance Georgia State or Kent State can luck into a field goal maybe, but I'm thinking 38-6, 38-3 halftime situation in that game. So best bet for this part, Georgia Kent State first half over and hope that they don't get stopped, which I don't think they will.
So Georgia Kent State first half over, correct, Matt?
Correct. And then you said that number was 35.
Okay. There we go. Matt Josephs at Mid-Major Matt on Twitter. Check him out. SportsMemo.com. Three straight winning seasons in college football and 29-14 out the gate. Guys, that does it for part one. We will be back at 3:40 Eastern for part two with Teddy Covers. Best of luck with your bets until then, if you got any, and we'll talk soon. Thanks for tuning in. Please smash that like button.